different things, but without question, God has his message for us. And when you talk about losing your soul, the song they sang before the sermon at the other service is, "Take my hand and lead me." And it's true. For us to lose our souls, it's really easy. All we got to do is let go of Jesus. See, because when Jesus has you in his hand, he leads you the right places. When Jesus has you in his hands, you may get off stray, but he'll pull you back. And I will say, as I was thinking about this, this is the year my son went off to college. Not just that, my son is in college. You know, I mean, there's fears and worries and stress because I used to have him by the hand, right? When we think about being in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ, we talk about the God who has us in his hand. And then they go far away and we're like worried about them. I will say, as we talk today, my son was a kid who never wanted to hold my hand. I know some of you have kids, they just love you and they hold your hands and they're little. My son never. The only reason I held my kid's hand was because, "Eli, stop that. Get over here," right? There's the hand-holding of love, and then there's a hand-holding of a parent whose children just, you know, chase away. And I'll tell you, he's that way because his dad was that way. Many, many years ago, my parents, I was just a young kid, and we were at Niagara Falls, and I just was out exploring, and my dad said, "Hey, let's see how long before he feels lost. We'll follow him, but don't show him that we're here." And so I just kept wandering and wandering and wandering. And finally, my parents gave up and showed up to me because that's the way I am. And that's my son. I'm glad for it, but it's hard as a parent. I tell you, it's hard for our parent in heaven. The God who so much wants us to go the right way, the God who's grabbing hold of our hands and we pull and go our own way, when God has the best plan for us. And that's really kind of where we're at in Matthew today. Matthew chapter 16, just a few verses, I think it's like 5-6 verses before our reading today. It's a very famous text. It's the people of God as they're moving forward. Jesus talks with them, and then he turns to his disciples and said, "Who do they say that I am? What do people think of me?" And the disciples answer, and then Jesus says, "Who do you say that I am?" And we know who it is. Peter. Peter stands up and he says, "Christ, you are Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus says, "Well, Peter, that's the guy. And on this rock, I will build my church. Peter, you're the man." And now, are you ready? Less than 5 verses later, our reading today. And in our reading today, Jesus begins to tell his disciples, "I am going to be arrested and killed by the people who deny me. And I will rise from the dead, but I am going to be killed." And Peter pulls Jesus aside and he says, "Oh, no, Jesus, this is never going to happen." And you know what Jesus says? "Get behind me, Satan." Anyone ever point to you and say, "Get behind me, Satan"? Whoa. I mean, this is the guy who 5 verses ago, "You're great." And now he says, "Get behind me, Satan." Is Jesus an emotional madman? I mean, I remember reading this long ago saying, well, how can this change so quick? What's going on? Why is this way? But I want to tell you, this is brilliant. Jesus, he honored, said, man, Peter, you're the rock because you know that I am the Lord. And then Peter, when you think you know I'm the Lord and you say that's a bad idea, you're not treating me like Lord. You're not trusting in me like the Lord of your life. And I tell you, there are two choices in life. You can follow Jesus or you'll be against him. And that's the challenge we're in. We're in a culture here in America where still 60-70% of people say, I'm a believer. And if we're lucky, 30% go to church. Ah, I know about Jesus. Yeah, he loves me. He died for me. Oh, I don't talk to him. I don't pray. Oh, yeah, I'm doing my own thing. You know, when I have some time, I'll maybe get back into worship, you know. And yet Jesus is their Lord and Master, the one who's reaching out with his hand to lead them and guide them. And we know better. If he's our God, we're going to follow him. We're going to follow him. And our prayer, Lord, take me by the hand. Don't let go of me, Lord, because I know I'm going to start heading wrong directions all the time. Take me, Lord. Lead me, because I need you. I need you. I always like kind of breaking my sermon down, if you don't remember. Three major points as we go into this text in Matthew chapter 16, and three semi-important things. He says, deny yourself. Two, pick up your cross. Three, follow me. Now, I will say, when we say deny yourself, it's not just, oh, yeah, you should give an offering. Deny yourself. Oh, yeah, everyone's so busy, but I go to church on Sunday. Deny yourself is far more the daily life we live in. Denying yourself is when you're dealing with the person who does wrong to you all the time. When you're dealing with the person who uses every opportunity to mock you, to make fun of you, and make you seem small. And for us, instead of knowing that's wrong and telling them that's wrong, for us to not have our mind on ourselves, but have the very grace of God. Jesus came down and walked among people who rejected him. He walked around people, and he loved him. Jesus is the one who didn't spend his time hanging out in church. He's the one who went out to the people that churches didn't accept and shared love instead of bringing up their problems and saying, hey, if you fix that, I might like you. In fact, I love the text we read. Romans chapter 12, it's a great setup. It says, look, if someone is your enemy, then be kind to them. If they're in need, help your enemy. Now, I like this verse because right after it says, because by doing so, it's like you're putting burning coals of fire in his head. Okay, so I like that part of it. That's not really why we should like it, but it's true. We, in every right here in America, have a right to judgment. That's wrong. You should stop that, blah, blah, blah. And Jesus is the one that says, do you want me to hold you all to your wrongs? Show mercy. Show love to the people who do wrong to you. And you know what that's going to do? It's going to make their soul ache. It's true. I've watched it happen in life. I've had people doing cruel things to me. And I had this one irritating girl way back in high school. Just irritating woman who just taunted me all the time. Taunted me. And guess what? I worked at this place in the summers. I'd go back, and here she walks in the door of the place I was selling stuff and everything. And then she walks in the door, and I'm like, whoa, I haven't seen her in like a year. The taunter of my life, the one who made me feel like so lowly in high school. I blame her for all the bad habits and all the bad feelings I have about myself. She walks in the store, and I'm like, hey, so good to see you. How's it been? Is college going well? Oh, that's tough. That's tough. But I tell you, she opened her heart to me. You know what? She says, it's been really hard, and I feel really bad for the things I said to you years ago. No, no big deal. This is it. We are called to be a people of love in this world. Deny ourself. Our goal is not to make our lives perfect. Our goal is to serve and love the broken. Serve and love all, but the broken are the ones that receive it. Secondly, right? Serve and love God. Secondly, and this is big, to pick up your cross and follow me. Ooh. Ooh. I mean, we say these lines, and they're common lines, but really, do we really think about what that means? To pick up a cross? I did it with youth when I did youth work way back years ago. And we built this gigantic cross, heavy, gigantic cross for our guys' ministry. And the guys, we said, all right, guys, we want you to take this huge cross, and we want you to walk all these blocks down here, circle around, and come back. And the guys pick up the cross. And I'm going to tell you, it was heavy. They were walking, and they were sweating like pigs. And let me tell you, Seattle is not like here. It's uphills, downhills, and they get back. And it was a funny moment because they're sweating like pigs. And they're like, let the cross down. They're like, oh my goodness, that was hard. And I said, did you like it? And some guys were like, yeah. And one guy said, you know, there was this guy. He just was watching us the whole time. I said, really? I said, yeah, he's just watching us. And I think, man, we're being a light. Because out in Seattle, the cross is lost. There's hardly Christians in there. And here the cross has moved around the town. And I'll tell you what was hilarious. This guy tells me about the guy. 3 days later, there's a guy in our church. And I say, hey, nice to meet you. What brought you here? Guess what? I saw these kids carrying a cross, and it made me question. See, we struggle. To bear a cross is not easy. To bear a cross like Jesus is to be rejected. Don't be surprised if there are people that reject you for being a Christian. Don't be surprised if there are people who mock you for your points of view. It's the world we live in. But I'll tell you what, like Jeremiah, there's greater joy in the Lord that can be found anywhere in this world. There's greater peace found in Christ than anywhere in this world. And that's pick up your cross. And picking up your cross is keeping your eyes open. There are times in life where, without question, you know, we don't want to bother people. Oh, no one's going to listen to me. Pick up your cross. Don't be afraid to be ridiculed. And don't even be afraid if they crucify you. For there's more joy in Christ here in this world than there is in anything else. Third, follow me. Without question, you know, we are a people who struggle sometime to follow Jesus. I love the text itself that see it says, those who seek to save themselves will be lost. And it's those who deny themselves that are found. Jesus doesn't want us to figure out what's right and do what's right. Yes, there are times where we ask for his direction and he gives it. But I'll tell you, God is bigger than us. God is a mystery. And God's callings to us sometimes are very clear. He gives us a heart and passion. And there's other times where on our hearts it says, go share your faith with that person. Forgive that person. Or just talk with that person. And in your mind, you're going, well, that's not going to work. They're not going to listen to me. Why should I even bother? Now, when that moment comes, stop and say to yourself, is that God telling me to stop my stupidity? Or is that Satan telling me so that I will resist the call of God? My dad is a grand example. He's hilarious. He's such a man of God, and I'm thankful for him. But he's a man who never shared anything of what he did. In these last 5-6 years, now he's starting to share some of the stories of his life. And it's like, Dad, why didn't you ever tell us this? I got to tell you one. It's a killer story. He is out picking up something. He is the principal of a school 3 times the size of our school here. I mean, big school, he's principal, he's a busy guy. He's picking something up at the store. And there's this woman. And he says, hello. And she says, sir, is it possible? Could you give me a ride? I need to get somewhere. And my dad's like, all right. Yeah, I know. I should be a good guy. I'll give you a ride. Where do you need to go? And the place she told him she needed to go was an hour away. Oh, oh, oh. And dad, he's just like driving. He's like, what the heck? This is so stupid. Why am I wasting my time? And he gets there. This is a hilarious story. He gets there, and as he's pulling into the area, she says, I know it's been a long, do you mind? I don't have a car. Could we just stop? I just want to pick up some groceries real quick, because I don't really have anything in my house. And dad's like, sure, you know. And then he drops her off at her house. And she says, thank you so much. I haven't seen anyone show that kind of love and kindness except Jesus in my life. God calls us to not figure everything out, but to follow him. To follow him. To dare to speak to someone that will never have a chance to hear. I'm going to close with one of my absolute favorite stories. I had a woman, member of our church, who literally was not a Christian growing up. She became a Christian, on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ. And she came to my office one day, and she's in tears. She says, you know, I came to know the Lord. My dad does not believe in Jesus, and I'd share Christ with him, and he would just get angry and bitter. And he said, if you ever bring Jesus up again, I'm never going to talk with you again. And so I pray for him, but I can't say a word to him. But she says, he's dying. And I know I'm going to get to heaven and he's not going to be there. And I told her, I said, you know, I know your dad said not to say it, but share your faith with him again. And so she went to the hospital. She told him again, I love you, Dad, but I got to share something with you. Jesus loves you. He will bring you life after death. Just grab hold of him. And I'm very glad that she came back and she says, can you baptize him? Because he accepted it. Bang! Look, impossible things when we follow Jesus. Right? Deny yourself. Get your focus off yourself. Jesus is the God who came with no focus on himself to serve the people whom he made. And he's a model for us to walk in this world and to serve the deserving and the undeserving. Pick up your cross. Don't hide your faith. There are times I'll suffer for Jesus if it'll work. It worked for Jeremiah in mighty ways. And follow me. Ask Jesus all the time, Jesus, what should I do? Turn to him in prayer. Dig in his word. Follow Jesus. Because like Peter, take my hand, Lord. Because if I'm not holding on to your hand, I'm completely messed up. God is gracious. God is loving. He doesn't expect perfection of us. All he wants is for us to be little kids that turn and don't ever let go of their dad's hand, their mom's hand, because they're the ones that know what's right. And they are the ones that love them so deep. In Jesus' name. Amen.